Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Scores his first of his career down the right side. Samuelson lets it go, and he is bouncing against the glass. And Samuelson finally gets goal number one of his career.
Matias Samuelson scores his first NHL goal. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Dylan Cousins, couple of goals.
Has to be the highest paid player to ever score his first NHL goal, right?
We're not including goalies?
Not including goalies.
And a lot of goalies have no goals.
That's true. A couple do. Would Marty Brodeur in 1995 have been making more money than Matias Samuelson is right now?
That's a great question.
Is that 4 point? What is the cap?
4.7?
4.7, I think, is the number. Was Marty Brodeur making 4.7 in 1995?
I don't know.
I think I'm going to guess no.
Yeah, I'm going to guess no also.
That might have been like the highest paid player in hockey at that time. Good for him, though. And the bounce after he scored was kind of just like
really
super
funny.
Excited about it. It was really funny.
Yeah, one thing on the Sabres, real quick. It's a Bills game day. You can call us about the Bills, how much you feel this game, how important it feels to you. It feels very, very important to me for the discussion about this team and around this team, obviously. More on that in a little bit. But on the Sabres, I've told you that, and you all out there, that one thing I need out of this team, more than the spot in the standings, is I need to believe that they have a lot of great players. And the number of great players they have has to grow. It has to be more than Darlene and Tage Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, Owen Power, Dylan Cousins, Jack Quinn are really good contenders to become great players.
Yes.
Cousins is, I mean, I don't want to overstate it. He's growing like he's got some sort of, you know, exploder science ray on him that all of a sudden he's growing three times in size. In terms of like how much I think about Dylan Cousins as a potentially great player. This has been a heck of a year for Dylan Cousins.
And what's funny is 2 days ago on the Extra Point Show, I said the problem with him throughout his career might just be goal scoring.
Yeah, needs a few more.
Yeah, because and you can kind of see it in his shot. Like he just, goalies almost make it look easy when he gets prime scoring opportunities a lot. And since I said that, he has scored twice. And his shot percentage has gone up from 9%, which was 11th on the Sabres, to 12.6%. And he might always be a low shooting percentage guy, but his value is always going to come in. He's an amazing zone entry man. He's a very good playmaker. And he makes a play on the back check yesterday on the power play, like defensively sound. Like he's going to do a lot of the other things that are not goal scoring, but if he's also going to score goals. I mean, that's going to be great. Did you include Paterka in that list?
I didn't yet. I mean, I think Paterka is a really nice player and can be a really nice player. But I'm talking, you know, NHL elite status is what I need. If I'm going to be expecting the Sabres to be a playoff team, a good to great team, I need five top line guys. I think the belief is Thompson, Darlene, Power would rank as 1, 2, 3 on there or likely to get there.
Yep.
And Cousins and Quinn I would put in after that. Because Quinn, even though Paterka has looked maybe a little bit more NHL ready, Quinn is really blossoming as well. You know, he scores his first goal, all of a sudden they start coming like crazy. The shootout move last night is nasty.
It was amazing.
And it's the kind of move that you make if you've got a lot of confidence. So liking a lot about Jack Quinn too. So that number of how many, you know, it's not just, oh, they're young. No, some of the young guys are really looking like they are legit. And you know, the secondary point here, Joe, is it's not just this year. For the past 5 years, the Sabres have had some really nice pieces that have been dragged down by anchors that the team employs or puts out there for 25 minutes a night or refuses to buy out or refuses to get off the taxi squad and onto a top line because he can score 30 goals.
Yeah.
Like, the Sabres have been about self-inflicted anchors. And hopefully this time around, you know, they can identify those and move past those, whether that's goaltending or if it's the middle stat line, which again last night, right after taking a big lead, they're out there, they lose a draw and give up a goal. Like, the middle stat line is destroying the Sabres at 5-on-5.
Yeah. That's really it, though, right? Like, there isn't really...
No, they've got one line that craters them, and their goaltending has not been above average, which is probably something they need.
Yeah. And their third pair gets... I mean, whenever it's on the ice, it's not a ton. Their third pair gets run over whenever it's out there. So, it's becoming a... All right, developing a lot of the young guys is the number one key, because they're already kind of falling behind in the standings. So, and maybe that was always going to be the most likely outcome, that... They weren't really going to be in a playoff race. They also weren't going to be one of the worst teams in hockey. They were going to be fun. They were going to be fun, and they were going to lose games that they should win, in part because they're super young, and they have three guys. I mean, overtime last night, I think there was a point where Quinn, Paterka, and Power were the three on the ice. Like, three guys that have maybe combined to play like 40 games in the NHL. So the rookies, as they blossom, you would think this team is going to get a lot better. So,
as long as they fill in the rest of it with non-anchors.
Right.
Which is something they've not done for about a decade.
Yeah.
they've employed a lot of anchors.
Yeah.
I mean, Sobotka got top 6 minutes.
Sobotka was their second-line center for like a month.
One of the worst players in the NHL. There was a stretch where the Oposo, Gergensen's, Larson line was the worst line in the NHL, and they played it all the time.
Man, and goaltending.
Goaltending is another thing. You know, some of their players have blossomed under another coach. They had a coach who actively damaged their team. So, you know, get out of your own way a little bit and try and take some steps forward. It is worth mentioning, this is very much to the point. Goals fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they in the league standings?
Just over, like, where they are in the standings?
Yeah, 1 to 32. Where are the Sabres in the standings?
24th.
24th.
24th. Okay.
Where'd they finish last year?
Is it 24th?
Where they finished the year before. Last year in the league, the Sabres finished, I'm just pulling up the NHL standings page, they were the 24th or 25th. And they've been 24th or 25th. Last year they finished 24th.
Okay. So 24th.
In 2021, this is the Ralph full year, they would have finished in dead last.
Yeah.
They pretty much finish in dead last or 24th every year.
Right. They're either picking
first or eighth.
First or eighth. Or they're picked second because they'll lose the lottery.
I mean, so to the point about goals fix everything, eighth overall and ninth overall picks, like that neighborhood, it's like when the Bills were in their drought. Cousins, Nylander, Mittelstadt, Ristolainen, those are all eighth picks.
Yeah.
Savoy's a ninth pick.
Yep.
Over and over again, Quinn's a ninth pick. They've been in this spot a million times. What's different? They're fifth in the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Goals fix everything. Goals make you think, and I'm not saying this is wrong, your young players are better. If they're 24th place and nobody's scoring goals and they lose every night 2-1, I don't think Jack Quinn and J.J. Paterka and Dylan Cousins are coming along. They lose every game 6-5. Like, I mean, you can score.
Yeah. Do you know where they are in goals scored?
Fifth.
I've got them at fourth now.
Fourth, okay.
They passed L.A. last night. They play goals per game. They'd be fifth. Yeah.
So, you know, some good things happening, a ways to go.
And they're fun, at least.
That's it. Goals are fun.
Goals are fun. And when it's young guys that haven't let you down yet, right? Like, it's one thing if you're scoring goals, but it's guys that have been on the team for 6 years, and you're not feeling it, really. I mean, everything's new.
What happens during that 8-game losing streak if Reinhart and Eichel are here? I mean,
it's
fever pitch screams.
Yeah. That's the other thing. When things go wrong, I guess the middle stat line is becoming this. A week ago, we sat here and thought, who is there to blame? Who are fans going to start riding on this? And the middle stat line has become that, because they do get dominated at 5-on-5 consistently. And the goaltending has become it too a little bit, but it's hard to... It feels like you're just in a waiting game for goaltending. Like, Craig Anderson not doing it really on a consistent basis, and Comrie's not really that good, but It's not really their plan anyway. Like, their plan isn't here yet in goaltending. And that might that could be a criticism of the GM more than it is even the guys that are in net. But for now, it's like, yeah, look how good Levi's doing in college. And, like, maybe he's here next year or the year after. Maybe that's my answer. But goaltending and the Mittelstadt line. I think we've kind of fallen into, okay, those are the two things that it's sinking them.
803-0550. It's a Bills game day. It's a Sabres game day. Sabres play against the Avalanche tonight, too. Tough draw
that's
there.
That schedule would have come out before the Amazon schedule?
The NFL schedule comes out in May.
Okay. No, NHL schedule definitely comes out after that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, after that.
Okay. That's a tough one.
Amazon game tonight, which means, here's a bet for you. We can't even bet this one. This is too much money. The odds are too skewed. Will Amazon show the shirtless pick of Fitz in the stands at last year's playoff game?
-5,000.
Fitz is on the broadcast. I wouldn't even be surprised if they're pregame feature, you know, they do the one where they do seven days to game day. That's one that's going to have Sal on it talking on the Extra Point show. I wouldn't even be surprised if they have Fitz talking about his experience in that game, like being there shirtless. Fitz is on, of course, the studio panel along with Richard Sherman, Tony Gonzalez, and who am I forgetting? Andrew Whitworth.
Yep.
So best broadcast in the league right now, Amazon. Best broadcast in the league, and if you get that, then enjoy it. And if you haven't had a chance to see an Amazon Prime game, you get it on Channel 7. And I'd be eager, you know, if you haven't seen many Prime games this year and you watch tonight, you know, tweet me. Let me know what you think of it, because I think it is the best broadcast in the league.
Yeah.
And it's entirely because the players are freshly retired, and it's not constant conversations about how, you know, you got to be careful on fourth down and run the ball.
No, right. It's like real objective analysis and like criticism. And
it is. And Richard Sherman's not afraid to say stuff. And Andrew Whitworth gives good perspective. Like, it's just, they do a great job.
That's the thing. No one on the entire thing feels afraid to say anything. And that's when they're at their best. Al Michaels doesn't even feel afraid to say anything, by the way, because he criticizes the game that's on
right.
almost every week.
Yep.
He might be like, oh, thank God. The Bills.
Bills and Patriots,
just
yeah.
Get me away from the Commanders and the Bears, and just, I'm sick of 13-10. So, the happiest person on earth today might be Al Michaels, because he actually gets what could be a very good football game.
Or at least
a high scoring one.
And a high leverage game, if nothing else.
Yeah.
My buddy Paul texted me, how about this for a bet? Fitz shirtless.
Oh.
At the studio panel.
Ooh.
This is not a bad bet.
At the studio
Fitz,
panel.
They start the broadcast, and Fitz is seated at the table, shirtless.
Would they not have to set it up a little bit?
I don't know.
That's a good bet. One might be more like even money.
Will he be shirtless at any point?
At any point during the broadcast tonight.
I mean, Adam Schefter was shirtless during one of these games, right, on a Sunday night in New Orleans?
Yeah, what was that for?
Because Kirk Cousins.
Oh, right.
I think it was a Monday night.
Monday night? Okay,
Monday night,
yeah. It was like his Kirk Cousins shout out, and Schefter went shirtless.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe Fitz would be minus money to be shirtless at some point tonight.
What do you want? You want it? You want to bet it?
Am I betting that he will or betting that he won't? What side do you want?
I don't know. I can't decide. I think I want. I mean, who wants to bet against it? Don't we both?
Right. Nobody wants to bet against
it. We both want to bet that, yes, he will be shirtless at some point during this broadcast.
I think it's probably should be less likely than it is. It should be more likely to not happen than it is to happen.
So
the picture is getting shown.
So you say picture getting shown -1,000, him being shirtless, you want to put it like +150.
Yeah.
+200 even? 2-1 odds?
Two to one odds.
I'll go 2-1.
All right. I'll take that.
So I'm getting he does appear shirtless at some point.
Yes.
For 2-1.
And I'm saying no, okay. He does not.
All right, what are you betting? $5?
$5.
$5. Enter it into the ledger.
Jeremy tonight, if you hear, just echoing across the neighborhoods in North Buffalo, just a yelp, a cheer.
That's
It'll
right.
be Ryan Fitzpatrick taking his shirt off.
$10. That's $10 I get.
$10.
Would he do it before or after the game? Where's the line drawn?
He can do it at any point.
Any point on the broadcast. And after the game, if the Bills win especially, I mean, after the game is a really good opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
The stadium starts to empty out. Yeah, we're good. I'm glad we got action. I needed something here.
Yeah. Does the game result impact whether or not he does it?
I think the Bills have to win.
Right. If the Patriots win and he hasn't done it,
well,
he's not doing it in postgame.
I'll be interested to hear if if Fitz has anything to say about Belichick, because, I mean, Fitz has told the story. Fitz has basically said he does not like Tom Brady.
Right. And that Brady never showed him respect. Or
he's a poor sport. He doesn't show respect. And yep. I wonder if Fitz has anything to say about Belichick. Because Belichick has also left without shaking hands before.
Yeah.
When he loses a game. And can maybe, I don't know if he's a poor sport, but I'll be interested to hear what Fitz has to say. Fitz played for every other team in the division.
Yeah. Right. Well, 20 years, Brady and Belichick were ruling the division. Each team got to, well, why don't we try Ryan Fitzpatrick against these guys?
That's right. Every one of them. And he would have had some wins, at least with the Bills and the Jets.
And the Dolphins.
He beat him with the Dolphins, too.
No, remember, there was the finale. The Dolphins were supposed to be tanking, and New England
That's right. lost home field.
They lost home field because they lost to the Dolphins in the finale.
So Fitz, the Belichick slayer, on the broadcast tonight. Again, it's one of the reasons it's the best coverage we've got.
You'll also have, you get some other tie-ins, right? You've got Richard Sherman, who
lost to Belichick
in the Super Bowl.
Will they show that highlight?
Yeah, they'll show that highlight. Yeah. And then, did Andrew Whitworth play them in the Super Bowl as well?
How long was he with the Rams? Yeah, he would have lost to Belichick in a Super Bowl.
So they've all got their tie-ins. Fitzpatrick just lost a lot in the division, and Sherman and Whitworth would have lost in Super Bowls to Bill Belichick. So,
and then the final question is, Tony Gonzalez was gone before 28-3, right?
Yeah. No, he's gone. He's gone by then, right? 2018? He might be in the Hall of Fame by 2018.
That's right. Okay. His final season in Atlanta is 2013.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, this is good stuff. Good stuff. 803-0550. You're calling the Bills on the Sabres. More than welcome for both. How do you feel about this Bills-Patriots game? How important is it for your fan psyche? 803-0550. Paul Hamilton, top of the hour on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.